You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Our guest today was in the Canadian military for 15 years. As a result of his serving in the military, he suffered post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. Joining us from New Brunswick is Greg Shand, who is here to tell us his story about how cannabis has helped him. And Greg is a member of Marijuana for Trauma and Veterans for Healing. Greg, thanks for doing this. It's good to meet you and good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on.
What was your job in the military?
Initially, when I started the military, I started as a primary reserve force. It was the reserve infantry unit in Nova Scotia. And then a couple years after that, I decided I was going to roll into the regular force and do that full time. But I wanted to become a truck driver to have some marketable skills afterwards. It didn't work out that way, but that was the plan.
Now, did you ever serve overseas when you were in the military?
Yes, I did.
Whereabouts?
I was in Afghanistan in 2008-2009.
2 years.
Well, it was from the fall of 2008 to the spring of 2009.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was about 7 months.
What was that like?
Other than hot, it was surreal. You get off the plane and you feel like the prop wash from the plane is still hitting you in the back, all that heat from the jet engine, and you realize that the plane's been shut off for 10 minutes. It's actually just the temperature outside, and here's a bottle of water, and welcome to Afghanistan.
Yeah, that heat for a Canadian is a little difficult to take at first, isn't it?
A little bit. Used to it pretty quick.
Were you in combat at all over there?
I wasn't in combat as jumping up and closing, like jumping into trenches or anything like that. I was as a transport operator. I was on convoys, and I was also on special operations where we do different missions and stuff that we would attach with the fighting forces. So I was involved in some combat that way.
Now, did you see things over there that you would rather not remember?
Most definitely. I'd say pretty much that entire 7 months.
You know, we've talked to military folks, a couple of guys from the U.S. who were in Afghanistan, and one of the things that they mentioned is that their nervous system was always ramped up. Did you find that?
I did find that. You're always set to go. When it was time to sleep, though, you slept, like you functioned. You were trained to do that, and that's what you did.
Now, when you signed up for the military, you obviously didn't have PTSD. When did PTSD start to affect you?
It was probably shortly after my return home from overseas. I returned home in April of 2009. And by, I think it was end of December 2009, I was being diagnosed with PTSD.
So you only saw the symptoms once you got home?
Yes. Other than that, if you were to ask my coworkers, it was mentioned because when I was diagnosed with PTSD in the Army, it was still very hard to talk about.
Yes.
But people who see me, how I performed over there, they're like, you're faultless. You never faulted. You just did what you had to get done and then some. Now you have a problem.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I wonder if it's, when you're over there, it's almost like you're on autopilot and...
You are. The training takes over.
Yes.
Like I always remember, you gotta shut down the personal feelings. Like when you have a job to do, you have to, forget about the fact that you have a young child at home, that you have a young family at home. This is the mission. It's when you come back home that you're never really taught about how to turn the emotions back on to function. So when you're sitting there and then you're dealing with all this stuff, like this is my first time that I'd seen this much disaster in such a widespread area. Everywhere as I went, absolute poverty.
That's got to have a huge impact on you.
It does, and it's... I don't think you ever come home and you're the same, but it's just one of those things, you start thinking about this afterwards, and it's... I guess it's how your brain processes it afterwards. If I had all the answers, I'd be a rich... I guess I'd be a rich man, or I'd be a very well-known man anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when you're over there, you're on high alert continuously because someone may be out to kill you. Now, when you got out and you were experiencing these symptoms of PTSD, were you on any pharmaceuticals? Did they put you on any pharmaceuticals?
They instantly tried to. I guess the way it worked out, when I came home in April, it started off with just drinking. I hadn't drank in a while, so it was just like there was always a reason to have a drink. And then it just kept building and building. So I guess by December, they had... I have a bag of prescriptions around here somewhere that I usually keep, but it's a Ziploc. It's a large Ziploc bag full of prescriptions they've dropped in over the years.
And you were taking all of those?
Not all at once, but these are different medications that they tried me on before I found cannabis.
Now, I was watching a video that you sent me of an interview you did in which you said that when you came back home, you were essentially in your basement for about a year and a half. Tell us that story.
It wasn't really when I came back home. When I came back home, I was functioning, but while medicating poorly with alcohol. It was when I was released from the military in 2014. We were living in Petawawa, Ontario at the time. We moved to New Brunswick. And it was just that transition period. That was when I lived about a year and a half in the basement. Just coming out long enough to drink and find more stuff to drink.
Greg, were you aware that there was something, in quotations, wrong with you?
At first, no. I was in very much denial. Even when I was going through the testing and to confirm that it was, in fact, PTSD, when they told me, I was still in denial. And then I went into the Muslim, told me that my life was over. You just gave me the worst. You gave me terminal news. Is the way I thought of it. And I think I lost the question there a bit. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I was asking if you were aware of how affected you were.
Right. So, yes. And then, but I still wasn't aware. That's still for weaker people. I can shove this off. I got this all.
Yeah. Now, did you...
After that before I started realizing, hey, this is something real.
Okay. Did your wife notice that you were different, or did she say anything to you? Or
yes, she was actually the one that sent me, or she gave me a choice. It was either go talk to somebody, like I had promised I would do, or she would have to go back to Nova Scotia for the sake of self and avoid, because I wasn't violent, but I sure as heck wasn't the man that she'd married. That was early on.
So there was a lot of anger issues within you at the time.
A lot of anger, just simple. Well, it's not simple, but I guess something simple is, well, your son didn't finish all his french fries on his plate. Well, do you know how many kids over there would love to have them? And it's... And you're always on edge like that. You're always thinking, like, well, if you're there, I mean, like, come on, like, stop wasting this stuff. There's kids who are starving in the streets. And you're throwing this onto your family. You're transferring it onto them.
When you were drinking and really isolating yourself from others, is that a fair description? You were isolating yourself?
Yes. For the only dealings I had really with people were... if I was going to an appointment that I'd still try to make, but I was still not very good at doing. That was the only interaction with humans I had, or you had to do with some kind of a party scene. Somewhere where I'm going to be able to consume alcohol. Could feel good for a couple hours.
Yeah, your alcohol was your choice of medication to medicate your feelings, to suppress them.
Yes. I didn't realize that... It wasn't until, like, towards the end of my drinking that I realized, like, hey, every time I'm drinking here, I go back down this sad sad growth of telling the same sad story over and over again. And I'm not healing.
Greg, at any time did you think of taking your own life?
Yes.
And what stopped you?
My family. I never wanted to... I can't do that.
How did you start to come out of your funk?
Last summer, I'm like, something's got to change here. I gotta make a move. I have this beautiful home, this beautiful property, family. Like, I have things going for me in my life, and I don't appreciate any. I went to marijuana for trauma, and I've seen people, they're hugging. I'm still skeptical at the time. I'm like, yeah, what a bunch of wackos. And I'm still thinking this at the time, right? Because
right. It's
a whole new feeling to me. I never, to be able to openly express a feeling other than hate or anger, you got to be a whack job. But then when it's contagious. When you get around, it's, if I'm a whack job, I'm okay with that. Because I enjoy the love of my brother and my sisters there. And that's when it all started turning around. And I have the support of my family. Like, they've been amazing, like, all through everything. Like, I tried to get rid of them many times to, so I could just be my own miserable self. And then they stayed.
Now, when you started taking cannabis, just before we get to that question, the irony is that your attitude towards cannabis prior to starting it up, you were really opposed to it, weren't you?
I was very, very opposed to it. I would disassociate you from my life at work. Not that I go out and purposely look for you, but if I found out, you're done. I had no tolerance for it. I had no belief in it. And then a couple of years later, a friend of mine suffers from early onset of Parkinson's, among other things, but with the tremors in his hand from the early onset of Parkinson's, to watch them stabilize after he smoked half of a joint, I'm like, that is amazing. So that's when I started seeing maybe there are benefits to some health issues. And that's when the eyes stopped being so closed-minded. It has nothing to do with being like stereotypical hippie or anything like that. There, it's just people together wanting to be well.
It's a fascinating plant. How long did it take you to start on cannabis when you first learned of some of its medical benefits?
I tried it just after I'd seen my friend's hand. I tried it. Yeah, I had somebody was unknowingly gave me a bad strain. It was Linarium from Med Relief. It was super high in as a sativa THC. And I was a first-time cannabis smoker, and I had a really bad experience. And it steered me clear of it for about a year before I'd even consider looking back at it again. And then when I look back at it again, I haven't looked back at the pharmaceutical. I still have to take a couple of pharmaceuticals in my life. I may always have to, but I don't have to take that cocktail that they have me on.
How long after you started cannabis did you first notice that it was helping?
Initial feeling was instant.
Right away.
To actually see long-lasting benefits, a couple months is just when I started realizing, hey, this is actually doing something. I'm not going for my bad medicine. I don't have a desire. I can look at it. I can be around. I can sniff it. It doesn't bother me.
Greg, how did it impact your drinking?
I don't drink today. I had a drop of alcohol since May. Prior to that, I was drinking maybe 3 drinks a week. But prior to me actually, and then this time last summer when I was still having that choice between cannabis and alcohol, when I was always choosing the alcohol. And at that point, it was 9 times out of 10, minimum, 26 ounces of rum a day.
26 ounces of rum a day. Wow.
Yes.
That's a fair bit.
Yeah, you were on your road to becoming an alcoholic.
By every definition, I am an alcoholic. And I know they say alcoholics deny it. I don't believe I am. And it's just for the simple fact of I can be around the alcohol. I have no urge for it. You can pour it in my glass, and I'll pass it off. I don't want it.
You know what? I don't think you are an alcoholic. I think you were drinking a lot to medicate your feelings. As a result of the use of cannabis, those feelings have been medicated in a different, more healthy way. Therefore, your desire for alcohol has diminished greatly to the point where you really don't have any desire for it at all. So I wouldn't say that you were an alcoholic. I'd say if you had continued down the road that you were heading, you were a big time drinker.
Very heavy, yes. Blood pressure's going back down, like bank account's going up. Like, I can't see any problems here.
26 ounces of rum a day is going to be expensive. What was with your high blood pressure? Did you have that when you were in the military?
It wasn't until after I was diagnosed with PTSD that it started to creep up, with the high blood pressure. And then last fall, my doctor checked my blood pressure. She used the words walking stroke pace. And like, she was like, it's not if, it's when, if you keep going this way.
And your blood pressure has come down as a result of using cannabis?
As of using cannabis, and then it came down even further when I stopped using alcohol. And it's getting better.
I want to know a bit about your Afghanistan trip and some of the things you saw over there that can be absolutely horrific to the point where people here, I don't think, really understand what you saw. Because you see people being killed, correct?
I'd really rather not paint that picture.
Okay. Let's not go there then. Let's deal with something else. You're a member of Marijuana for Trauma and Veterans for Healing.
Correct.
Tell me about Marijuana for Trauma and how you got involved with that.
Initially, Marijuana for Trauma was the only organization I heard of. I didn't realize that Veterans for Healing was even a thing. It was a thing the whole way through. It was just one of the background projects at the time. I guess for the lack of better terms, that's my interpretation of it. So Marijuana for Trauma, I'd heard through a friend of mine with the Parkinson's. The staff seemed very, very knowledgeable at the time for a guy that doesn't know anything about it. And they're generally friendly and welcoming. So then you get there, you see that side of it. So the Marijuana for Trauma brings you in, introduces you to the medical cannabis, and then the Veterans for Healing is our peer support side of it. With that being said, we also have civilians within the organization. Veterans for Healing is the name. Veterans are our primary focus, but we will not turn people away.
So it's an umbrella group, really, for anyone who wants to use marijuana for healing purposes.
For healing purposes. Veterans for Healing is more, it's not more, it's the peer group for the cannabis. It's also the peer group for the camaraderie and understanding of each other. When I say I don't want to paint the picture, or they say, hey, how's it going? You say, hey, it's not good. They know. It's that kind of atmosphere that I don't have to, when I just say I'm having a bad day, they get it.
Now, Greg, is it fair to say, prior to cannabis, all of your days were bad?
I would definitely say 99.9% of the days were bad.
With cannabis, how many bad days do you have?
I still have my share of the bad days. I'm just trying to think of a number here. And I can't even say bad, like off days. Bad days? 2-3 a month, maybe?
Yeah, they're few and far between.
They're a lot less. The quality of life has definitely improved. Yeah, cannabis has given me my quality of life.
I think what cannabis has done, Greg, and correct me if I'm wrong, is really given you your life back. It's a fresh start for you after what you've experienced. Fair enough?
It's close. I don't know if I'll ever be... It's a fresh start for the new Greg, I guess. What I'm capable of and who I am. I'll give you that one.
But your mental health is much improved over what it was.
Yes, it is. I can actually have decent night sleeps. I even had one last week. I didn't wake up wet.
By wet, you mean from sweat?
Wet from sweat, yes. Like,
yeah, I don't want you to say that you wet the bed, but...
yeah. And I've checked myself to see, because I've been that way.
Yeah, none of us can really understand what you have gone through and what you're experiencing, because it is just a totally, totally different way of life that people in the West don't understand. Are there many other folks in the military who experience PTSD like you, or in some other form of PTSD, maybe not quite as severe as yours, just PTSD generally?
I don't, for myself, the definitions between mild and severe, and when you start breaking down into the degrees of PTSD, that's for the doctors and people qualified to do that. I'm more worried about just the PTSD. That's, to me, PTSD is a terminal disease, if you let it be.
Explain that when you say, if you let it be.
If you let it be, like, if you let it, if you just say, hey, I'm never going to be better, I'm done looking, for ways to help heal myself and make myself better, then you've now become terminal. You have to keep working.
Yeah, you have to keep working on it. And I think you've actually hit on a very extremely important point, that if you have the mental attitude that this isn't going to bring you down and you are going to do whatever it takes to deal with it and maybe not correct it, but remodel it in your head, then you're well on the road to recovery. Fair enough?
This is the hope. That's what I believe. It's how I try to live my life whenever I'm possibly able to do it. I mean, we're all human. We all falter. But that's how I keep going. And then for people in the Army, if you have PTSD, like I said, it comes back down to the doctors to just decide where or why you have it. That's not up to me.
Craig, do you only smoke cannabis, or do you take it in other forms?
I haven't lately, but I was taking that in capsule form, so I'd ingest it. I initially started out, yes, as smoking as a traditional joint, and then I moved into the concentrate family, the rosins, or dabs, I guess they call it on the streets.
Is there a form you prefer?
I prefer the concentrate. I'm not too keen on the oils myself. It's a texture thing. It's not that they don't work. They do work. As for smoking, it's great for flavor, does have medical benefits, but I believe you're really wasting your medicine. I'm more for if you're going to vaporize something or use an electric nail or anything like that, there's probably a better way to do it because you get the concentrate out of it, and then you have the leftover flour that's pressed down into chips that you can grind down and back into your capsules. So you're getting 100% use of your medicine.
Look at this guy. He's telling us about cannabis, and you just hated it a few years ago, right?
It's funny. Like, once you actually listen, you'll hear this, that there's science in there, not just hippie flower pot smoke.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's one of the problems is that changing people's attitude toward cannabis, because they've always assumed that it was just a drug that you could take to get high, and it had no medicinal value. But I think, and we on this program deal with strictly the medicinal value of marijuana, cannabis, right. And it is absolutely astounding, some of the things and some of the stories that people have told us about using this substance to heal themselves of issues that the medical profession had no answers for.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. How does your wife view what the progress you've made over the last several months?
I haven't had any complaints. Initially it was just a different culture for us both with the cannabis, but it's been support all the way along, and I actually think their energy is getting stronger.
Nice.
That's great to hear. Greg, anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
I have to go political here for a bit on it.
Go politic away there.
for the Minister of Veterans Affairs, Mr. Hare, that I just want him to actually just take the time and listen to this and then sit down. And if you don't want to sit down with me, fine, don't. Sit down with some veteran and their spouse, and you look them in the eye, and you tell them that veteran why they have to fight for their life because you want to cut back and save money on cannabis. Other than that, I've had a really great time on the show.
Greg, it was good to talk to you. I appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Craig.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
And if you'd like to help us out at Cannabis Health Radio, then go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and check out our new website. And there is a donation icon on the website. You can donate a one-time donation or, if you want, a monthly donation. And check us out, cannabishealthradio.com. And if you have a story that you'd like to tell us about your medical use of cannabis, also send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.